All right. So, hello everybody, and thanks for being here. Can everybody hear me correctly in the back and in the side? Yes? Good. So if you're here in this room, you probably already know what PTV is. It's a video editor written in Python and made of awesome. Its chief weaponry includes such elements as a huge file format, compatibility. You can pretty much throw anything in to PTV, like you could mix Windows Media video files with your camera's QuickTime files and your YouTube videos. It has the best of breed UI design. It's very user-centric. It values efficiency, and it's designed in collaboration with filmmakers and usability experts such as me around the world. So, and it's also a video editor that aims to not have this notion of market segmentation that you see in the proprietary world, where in the proprietary world you would see, well, we're making this low-end video editor that's made super simple with limited features, and this super high-end, super complicated thing with 500 options in the preference dialog, just so that it looks professional, and we're gonna price it differently, and the features won't intersect. And we don't have that here. I want to spend a few minutes to actually talk about the mission, the vision of PTV, why we're working on it, why it matters, because I haven't done that very often. I recently sat down and I started thinking about this. After all these years of being involved in one way or another with this project, there ought to be a powerful reason why I and other contributors have stuck around and continued pushing things forward. Of course, everybody starts by scratching an itch. I remember how in 2005, I just wanted a replacement for Vegas. And I thought, well, this project is really cool. It's open source, so it will be done in 6 months, right? So that's the reason you get involved in the beginning. But then as time passes, as you make friends through the project, as you see people being enthusiastic about what you do, and people putting trust into you, even if it takes a really long time and you're fighting against impossible odds, you need to find something more compelling to keep you motivated. And here's what came to my mind. In PTV, we believe in allowing everybody on the planet to express themselves through filmmaking with tools that they can own and improve. Unsurprisingly, I put that statement on the website, and unsurprisingly, recently, PTV contributors came to me and said, wow, that really resonates with me. That's exactly my thoughts. So, yeah, okay, at first glance, this might seem like a very broad, insignificant statement. But no, it's very powerful, actually. It gives you a goal in life. It rallies people around it. And it's loaded with very important facets of our goals. Like allowing everyone, that touches upon the no market segmentation thing I mentioned earlier. That means grandma just as well as the kid in school doing short films, or an activist recording public protests, or an independent professional filmmaker who wants to be a master of her tools. We want to cater to all of those people. And the notion of mastery brings a second element in that statement, which is owning and improving the software. It has to be open source. It has to be easily hackable. So PTV is written in Python. It's, of course, made of awesome. It has a clean code base. And it has a clear documentation around how to get involved in the project. So how do we do all these things? Well, this means a couple of things. This means be at the forefront of technologies, the latest GTK, the latest GStreamer. We have this upstream first approach, which people in the GStreamer community and the Fedora community will probably be familiar with already. It basically means no hacks. You discuss with upstream, such as upstream GStreamer, upstream GTK, and everything. And you work out solutions in cooperation with them. And you don't put some stupid hacks in your application downstream instead of fixing the problem for everybody. And you eat your own dog food, of course. So you talk with filmmakers. I am a filmmaker. I do consider myself a filmmaker, even though my movies are rather weird. And PTV also acts as a catalyst. It's a torture test for GStreamer. So these guys, they kind of like they're scared of me whenever I'm running chasing them down in conferences. So completing this mission properly is rather difficult. Technically speaking, it's a very complex piece of software. And to add some more difficulty, well, your users are typically not developers. Otherwise, they're very weird. Your users are typically not developers. And your developers are often not users. Or the ones that were users and became developers are not users anymore sometimes. That's a very interesting situation. And there is no sustainable business model around an open source video editor because it's just too much of a niche. And you have too much competition from the proprietary video editors, which are actually pretty good. And that's just the surface of this thing. If you're interested in details of the economics of open source video editing software and everything, you can check out the presentations I gave at Libre Graphics meeting in 2009 and 2011, or maybe we can discuss those things in a hallway or something. But those presentations are actually on the PTV website, so they are easy to find. And for this, talk or the next few slides at least, I'll be focusing more on the technical side and a little bit of economics. I'll be mentioning what we've been doing for the past 1 or 2 years, what we are doing now, what we'll be doing next. So in 2010, GES came out. It's a nice C library that is part of GStreamer. And it allows you to create audio and video editing applications without requiring a PhD in astrophysics. So it's meant to be a complete high-end, high-level solution, and not just for editing, but also playback, encoding, media discovery, etc. And it's basically the result of the years of experience in developing PTV and other applications in the GStreamer world. Because, you have GNonlin, but GNonlin, it manages timing and dynamic pipelines and all that, but that's nearly not enough for... You need far, far more than that to be able to make a real video editor. GS is nice. It also uses various GNOME-centric technologies like glib, gobject. It uses GTK doc still, I think. And it's fully introspected, so you can use it in Python. You can use it in certainly other languages. But Python is best, of course. And then in late 2010, so 1 year and something later, and early 2012, we decided in the PTV project, well, it's time to switch to GS. It would be a good thing to do, because it doesn't make any sense to maintain your own editing backend anymore. It would be stupid not to make our efforts reusable for other projects. So at Wadec last year, this was a status report that we had. This was our current status around GES. You had the core features in the first group that were implemented, and some features, the second group, that were being worked on as part of the Summer of Code. And the remaining features on the roadmap were left to the future. And this does not include the features and the improvements in PTV itself. That's pretty much just centric around the port to GES. So I don't really have time to go over this in this presentation, but if you're curious, you can go to the PTV website. There is on the showcase, there's a recording of my talk at Guadec 2012, which turns out to be the only surviving record of Guadec 2012. And it was edited with PTV. Coincidence? I think not. And then in early 2012, we thought, okay, the plan is we stabilize the GES, we try to get the release out of the door ASAP. before looking at porting to GStreamer 1.0, because GStreamer 1.0 is not yet ready, you know, we weren't sure. But then after a few months, we were in the situation where, well, nobody was looking at GStreamer 0.10 anymore. And we were quite behind already our initial schedule. So at this point in time, it didn't make any sense to keep going with 0.10. And to get any amount of support, we needed to use GStreamer 1.0. But other than that, we didn't foresee a huge amount of work left to be able to make a new PTV release. The biggest obstacles we predicted were that we would have to switch to GStreamer 1.0 and GTK3 and G-Object Introspection all at once because of the conflicts, the nice conflicts you see in this picture. So not such a big deal, right? We take care of those missing features in GS, and then we do the big switch to GTK3 and GStreamer 1.0 in one go. So we basically cleared the level. And all we can see are those little issues, you know, like over there that are blocking us. We just take care of those, and we're done, right? The last few remaining bugs should be easy. How hard can it be? Yeah, I'm sorry, this is kind of violent. This is how I let go of this. Holy crap, what the hell is that? GStreamer 1.0! Bugs! Everywhere! Wait, what's going on? We're having deadlocks and segfaults all over the place. Wait, we can't release like this. We gotta take care of this giant bear. Oh my, I think G-Nonlin is broken. Okay, wait. Oh, it sort of works now. Oh crap. There's a bunch of stuff that's broken in the GStreamer base plugins. Oh crap. Okay, so now you have a summary of what has happened in the last few months. And thus, here we are, 1 year after GUADEC 2012, with a bunch of new regressions that have been fixed, and, well, kind of, new features implemented, and a ton of work done to fix GStreamer. And contrary to the last year, this slide only talks about the present. The first list of items are what's done, and either old features that were re-implemented, usually much better than before, or new features. And the last list of items, the last three items, are stuff that we're still working on this summer. So let's look at the future. What are we doing right now? What's in the cooker? Well, I always have a bunch of plans based on my own intuition and my experience as a filmmaker. But once in a while, it's good to take a good hard look at yourself and reevaluate the priorities and ask your user base what's the most urgent and important to them. So we recently made this survey asking, well, what do users want? Because it's, you know, all about users. So we have a sample of 1,318 people who answered the survey. The source, the internets, Planet Gnome, Planet PTV, social networks like Google+, oh my god, Ubuntu. Thanks, mate. I have to say thanks to Joyce Naden there. It was a nice little help, because he allowed us to get a lot more coverage from a different audience than if it was just from Planet Gnome or PTV fans. So we have a sample that is a lot more representative of the population at large, statistically speaking. So I'm pretty confident in these results, for once. You may think that a sample size of a little bit over 1,000 users is not that much. Actually, that's something you can find out from my talks at LGM. It's pretty close to the size of the population of people who do video editing on Linux. because you have like you could estimate to the amount of people using Linux, but it's like 1% of people in general who do video editing, and then 1% of 4% of 1% or something, you end up with not many people. So it's pretty close to the population size. And so before we analyze the results, let's take a closer look at the sample. I don't know why I said that. It's just we have a good portion of people who at least tried PTV or are PTV users. But we also have a bunch of new people that never heard of it. Some people who just like other software, and that's fine. It's interesting. Because the survey is not just used for us, it's also used for whoever is interested in a video editor, an open source video editor on Linux. We have a pretty varied sample, which mostly follows a normal curve. So I had a question in the survey that says, how do you rate from a scale from 1 to 10, how familiar you are with video editing? Are you a professional? Are you a newbie? So we have a bunch of newbies on the left. Well, it's not just like a bunch of newbies and a bunch of professionals. We have a nice normal curve. This can murk things up a little bit in the next chart because you're like mixing professionals with normal people. But that's okay because we want to cater to everybody. And remember, market segmentation is a construct of the mind. Rather unsurprising result here. Mostly nobody cares about multi-platform, or at least nobody in our sample. And among those who do, only a small fraction would be willing to pay for an open source video editor to be ported to other platforms. So I'm not going to care about that much. Because frankly, we've got enough on our plate already. But hey, if someone offers to help porting PTV to other platforms or even write a new video editor based on GES, you're welcome. Do experienced users have different requirements regarding the multi-platform thing I just talked about? Well, there's a slightly bigger proportion of them that care about other platforms, but still the vast majority does not care about other platforms than Linux. Interesting. And now, what do people in general want the most out of an open source video editor? Surprise, surprise. People want basic shit to work first and foremost. And nobody cares about collaborative editing, actually. Well, at least until you've got everything else nailed down. And people didn't believe me when I said that 2 years ago. Well, let me say this now. I told you so. But again, this is for the entire sample. What if we limit ourselves to a subset of that sample? Let's check what happens if you take only those who evaluate their skill level to 7 or more on a scale of 1 to 10. Interesting enough, the number one feature is still simplicity and stability. And then comes proxy editing and keyframeable effects properties. Suddenly, it just becomes pretty much just as important as stability. And then, relatively to the number one feature, that is stability, all the other features suddenly become a little bit more important. So the takeaway is that pros want everything, and they want all to be rock solid. No big surprise. But it does confirm the order of the priorities that I've been suspecting for years. And it validates the features that I've been prioritizing in the upcoming PTV release. The good news is that Mathieu Duponchel has implemented the keyframable effect properties recently. And that Anton Belka is helping us lay the groundwork for proxy editing. And that Joris Valette is actually working towards the slow and fast motion feature. So we're on our way. People want quality and stability. And they want all the top features, and they want it for free, and they want it now. We knew that. It confirms what we suspected. Features are nice when stuff works. historically, we have a quality and reliability problem in PTV and Bitshimmer. See those, that nice rating we got among Ubuntu users? And there's so much that can go wrong in a nonlinear video multimedia pipeline that below the surface of the UI. We have to address that at some point. Stability is hard. Stability with a mind-boggling, complex, underlying non-linear video editing application is even harder. It's time for quality. So let's rise to that challenge. Lately, we've been thinking about various things that we might need to do. This might be one of them. Actually, we probably won't kill GNOME in the traditional sense. We're hoping to do some pretty heavy refactoring around it, and we're entertaining the idea of merging it with GS or merging it into the GStreamer base plugins. And the argument for merging it into the same repository as GS is that it would make it easier to harmonize releases. The argument for merging GNOME into the GC plugins space is that GNOME is an element, not a library like GES. And, well, GST plugins base is meant to have elements of all types, including video editing use cases. So the other big advantage of putting GNOME in GST base is that it would be under the responsibility of those guys, the core maintainers. And that would be better tested, I hope, which is certainly an interesting prospect. So if you're curious about things we've brainstormed a little bit, you can see bug number, GNOME bug 701.2Z287 for details. What does this say? Oh yeah, test all the things. We've recently started experimenting with an automated test server for everything, for PTV and GES and GStreamer and GNOME and everything. So everything, it runs pretty much on every time someone commits something in GStreamer, which is quite often. And it allows us to spot regressions and know where they come from instead of just spending 2 days trying to track down why is everything broken? Why is my QuickTime file not syncing anymore or something like that? It's much easier with that, at least I've been told. The interface is in French. Sorry about that, but a PTV French conspiracy. Other things you can do. We also have these dovetail tests to test the UI automatically. So right now we have the most common PTV UI scenarios tested, as well as some corner cases known to trigger bugs, like try to split 100 times a clip. And dovetail makes it very easy to write UI tests. You just tell it a sequence of things to do, like click this button, and then search for the existence of this UI element with this label or something. And it's actually a really good way if you're looking to get involved in the project and improve the quality. If you know some of the corner cases or some of the things that are annoying to test and to reproduce bugs, come write a test for it and help us test for your issues systematically so that they keep working. Well, yeah. So, stability is paramount, but people, including me, expect to have, you know, awesome, exciting stuff to make complex editing possible. So let's take a look at some of this exciting stuff from the last few weeks. We killed Goo Canvas. This is thanks to Mathieu Duponchel. He refactored and ported our timeline to Clutter in 2 weeks. He did that just before his Summer of Code project started this year, just to show how much of a badass he is. This is another awesome feature. You can finally animate the properties of your effects. So let's take a moment to marvel at how awesome this is. Here I'm like, let's insert a keyframe curve for this clip. And I can click on the keyframe curve and miss the target, but I can click again and move some keyframe upwards. So now I'm controlling the saturation and this will change the amount of like how popping the colors are in the clip. So, whoa, way too much. And yeah, you'll be able to see the end result soon. So it goes from black and white to full color, and back to black and white. So you can animate your stuff now, which is super important for crazies like me. Yeah, pretty cool. Speaking of Padacity, Mathieu's Summary of Code project can be summarized in two words: fix everything. So his goal is to fix bugs all across the GStreamer stack so that we can actually release something without causing protests and riots in the streets. And so since the beginning of his GSUC project, from what I can see from GNOME Bugzilla, he's been involved in something over 40 bugs in GStreamer. And well, we have a lot of other nice stuff coming up. Joris's project for the Summary of Code is quite different than Mathieu. He's implementing motion ramping, which is basically the ability to do slow motion and fast motion with a speed that varies throughout the clip. So what you're seeing now is an example of motion ramping. And an example of how much of a badass hero Joris will be when he finishes his project. Hell yeah! No pressure. So regarding motion ramping, I have some thoughts on how to make an easy-to-use UI for it. And we'd like to discuss that with advanced filmmakers in the room. So if you're a video editing enthusiast, please come talk to me and Joris about this. Other stuff, when rendering, we actually cache GStreamer pipeline errors now, and we show them to you instead of just randomly freezing up without saying anything. Amazing! It's a feature, not a bug. Oh, and we have a nice high-resolution logo icon too, which is always nice. And we also have new icons for the buttons on the in the UI, in the timeline, which is our pixel precise, which is nice, until you're running a high DPI screen. Oh, crap. I'm also working on a modern, fully responsive website design for PTV, which I will publish when the new release comes out any day now. And yeah, a shitload of other stuff. The stuff I mentioned here is just what has happened in the last few weeks. The list of improvements since Guadec last year is really long. I'm not sure I would have time to cover it here. I've been working on my talk for the last few weeks, but I still didn't have enough time to prepare for it today. And there's too many interesting people in Guadec, so this is annoying. So anyway, if you're curious, you can take a look at our blog posts, and you'll have a nice, very nice summary of the improvements since last year. So for now, I'll simply invite you to join us and share the software. We've got a great technology, we've got nice contributors and mentors, very friendly IRC channel. The code is well architected, the UI is separated from the core, we have a long project history, and we have a lot of experience. Don't make the mistake of reinventing the wheel like countless others. Well, unless you reinvent the wheel using GS, that's okay. We have a 3 weeks merge policy, which we try to follow as much as possible. So if you try to contribute something to PTV, a patch or artwork or something, we're going to review it and, if possible, merge it to the main development branch. And there's plenty of other reasons why it's cool to contribute to PTV on the website. And we want to make this stuff easy. So we have an automated build script for you. So this stuff will check if your GStreamer stack is recent enough, and it will allow you to build everything in one go. So it's pretty easy to get started with PTV hacking, and it's also useful as a starting point if you're trying out development versions of GStreamer without touching the rest of the system. It's actually useful to also test some simple bugs, and like, does QuickTime files actually play or seek? So as you can see, there's many ways you can help us. Even writing new specialized editing applications, that's helpful. For example, GES could be used to create a video editor specialized for recording and processing talks at conferences such as GuadEC. I'd be happy to help with guidance and advice for that, though I wouldn't code it because, well, there's just so many hours in a day. But do come and see us, and we'll help you get started if you're interested in such a crazy project. And if you want to do UI work, well, we have a ton of stuff, but this is just an example. Please finish my title editor branch. I'm sick of promising this feature, and there isn't much work left to do. And it's a fun project, so come see us if you're interested. Is Saif Lutfi in the room? Yes. Yeah. I'm looking at you. So yeah, we'll be having a Hackfest this week, so not sure where it will be located. Maybe we'll just be in the auditorium or the lobby tables or something. We'll see. You can check our Google Plus event page or monitor the GuadEC Twitter feed for details. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for your attention. Any questions? Damn, I killed them all.
Okay. Yeah. Did you use PTV on any of the videos you were showing us?
On to what?
For any of the videos that you were showing inside your presentation.
I cheated and I used AVID mux or something else, like just to cut the middle and the end because I didn't want to re-encode the videos. Or maybe I did use PTV for one or two of them. I don't remember. But I had to fight the AVID mux bugs. It's very frustrating when it crashes and you have to start over again and again. Yeah, every video editing software sucks in a different way. Other questions? Insults. Rotten fruit. Oh, there's rotten fruit over there.
So I'm sorry I missed the beginning of your talk.
Damn.
But I know a bit about PTV. What's your plan in, because there's going to be a lot of issues that are going to be in GStreamer in the end, as you've already said. What plans do you have to have as many tests as possible in PTV or GES so that in the end us GStreamer can know, you know, when something breaks PTV?
I guess needing to find additional time to write those tests. Did you see?
As I said, I missed the beginning.
So did you miss the automated testing thing?
The one with the doc at the end, or?
No, before that.
Ah, sorry.
Let me rewind through time.
No, fine. Show me later.
It's like you missed half of the badacity, you know. Kill Jin Onlin, yeah. Test all the stuff. You've seen this, I think.
No. You're missing my point. I don't mean, you know, automating it and so forth.
Tests.
I mean, what kind of tests? And
good
how
question.
Many are you going to be writing and so forth?
There's another member of the French conspiracy over there who wants to answer.
I guess you should check out the Git, actually. We have a lot of GES, yes. A lot of tests with playing pipelines, stuff like that.
Basic test is seeking, rendering, writing, basic pipeline with video mixing or audio mixing or transition and stuff like that that we just render and we check that the rendered file is actually correct. And then the idea is to have like verification with human eyes. So we just check visually if it's right at some points. We just check basic sync automatically, and then like to be sure it's right, we just have to check manual the results.
No other questions. Damn. Well, that went rather well.
So if there are no more questions, I would like to thank Jeff for his great talk. Thank you.